Show, where we are serving this galaxy and beyond. Welcome to N5D Radio's Cosmic Awakening Show, where we are serving this galaxy and beyond. My name is Michelle Walling, and I'll be your host for the next few hours. I'm a certified holistic life coach, author, and webmaster of CosmicStarseeds.com. Joining me today is my Pleiadian co-host, Rockin' Larry Lockin. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great today. I am broadcasting live from the N5D headquarters in Sarasota, Florida. And it's been a beautiful day, a beautiful week. We've had a lot of wonderful weather for swimming and, you know, working by the poolside, which is usually what we're doing all day. How about you?
Oh, about the same, except I'm clear on the other coast in the Pacific Northwest, right on the Oregon coast to be exact, and the fog is rolling in, and it's just been kind of a muggy week. It doesn't know whether it wants to rain or sunshine. You know, a typical mid-spring, typical late spring Oregon day here. Other than that, not too much going on, just obviously not as much excitement as you've got going on back on the Florida coast or wherever you're at.
Yeah, so. Down here south of Tampa pretty much is where we are. And I'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsor, Greg Prescott, here with me tonight. He's not going to be on our radio show. He's working, but I can see him through the door. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, and he's the one that makes N5D Radio has our show possible. So he's a webmaster for N5D.com, which is the world's hottest esoteric, metaphysical, and spiritual database on the internet with almost 900,000 visitors each month. N5D.com is ranked in the top 25,000 websites in the world. So I got my plug in for N5D because I love N5D. I write for N5D. I have there's a search engine on N5D that I do most all of my research on. So you can find my articles on N5D, and you can find more episodes of our show, the Cosmic Awakening Show, on our Facebook page, which is simply labeled Cosmic Starseeds. I want to give a special shout-out tonight to our Facebook friends because we love Facebook.
Yes, we do.
And I have a new group I'd like to mention tonight. And Larry, I added you to this group. It's called Extraterrestrial Communication and Star People Contact.
Okay, great. I saw that right when we were trying to log on and do all of that. I was wondering where that came from, but I will definitely check it out as soon as we get off air. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Yes, and it's very appropriate for the subject of our show tonight, since we are going to be talking with the Pleiadian Collective contactee, Julian Wells. And because we are in a Pleiadian mode tonight, I wanted to give a special shout out to the Facebook groups that we have in common. And the first one is Pleiadians. Hey, Pleiadian group.
Hey.
We also have the Lyrians. We have the Pleiades New England group, the Pleiadians UK group, the Pleiadians India, Pleiades Latin America, Canadian Pleiadian, Texas Pleiadian Rangers, yeehaw!
Yeehaw, woo!
Your closest group, Pacific Northwest Pleiadian.
Yes.
We have the Pleiadian Kiwi and New Zealand group. We have the Texas Pleiadians, which I love very much because I can chat with people in my home state. We have the Pleiadian Stars Cosmic Gate. We have one of my favorite authors, Barbara Marciniak and the Pleiadians. We have Pleiadians Australia and Pleiades. Is it Pleiades Mediterranean or Pleiadian Mediterranean, Larry?
It's Pleiades Mediterranean.
Pleiades Mediterranean. So a special shout out to all the Pleiadian groups out there. You know, the goal that you've set up a lot of these groups And then we also are just, you know, members of the groups. But the goal is to bring Pleiadian awareness and share the heart space love with all of with everybody that we can on the planet, and to bring our family, our soul family, together.
Absolutely. And I think, too, Michelle, what it does is in creating all these groups, my idea was to kind of have something a little more centralized to their region, but yet at the same time have anybody that wants to be willing to join, and with smaller amounts of members in those groups to have people connect just a little bit more, and so that, you know, we can all connect on a grander scale. Of course, we have the bigger Pleiadian groups and, you know, these smaller regional groups, and I think it just brings us together as one. I don't look at it as a separation at all, and so I think that it's a good thing. At least that's what I had in mind anyway. We'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. And we're just bringing information to the planet, you know, with information. We have power with knowledge, and that is how we are going to help to awaken many people who are just now waking up, to keep them informed and allow them to take their power back and know that there's, you know, I don't know if they're called extraterrestrial. I prefer to call them extra-dimensional groups out there that are all on our side helping us and watching us. And so with that in mind, I'd like to give a shout-out to all of the extra-dimensional beings, including our past and future selves that are out there in the cosmos listening tonight. Hey, guys!
Hey, guys, how are you? Much love, and I'm giving myself a pat on the back for every single one of my higher and higher former and present selves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I have some exciting news. I'm now a published author for Inspirillumination magazine, which can be found on the website inspirillumination.com, and that's like N-I-N, and then spiral, S-P-I-R-A-L, and then lumination, and then .com. And a perk of being an author on this fabulous magazine is that I get one free subscription per month to give away. So if on the chat room, hey, I want to give a shout out to the chat room. If anybody is interested, the first person to give me their email address on the chat room, I will forward you a link to get a free subscription to that magazine. And that's a perk that I get as being a featured author. And so if you'll write that that down, do you see that, Larry, that email address there?
I'm looking for it right now. I was having a little bit of trouble with
I'm just going to copy it and put it on my notepad. I'm sorry to have to
stop talking.
Okay, I gotcha. Yay, congratulations. Okay, so one thing I'm going to jump into here is on May 21st, there was an article that says that the great central sun, Alcyone, is conjunct to our sun now. And so I'm going to read this. It says, Alcyone is the brightest star in the Pleiades and the Earth's central sun. It is sighted before the sun on the horizon on this day, May 21st, which was yesterday. So it is, in effect, the day of the central sun, the sun, and they're all in alignment as one. So as of yesterday, Larry, it looks like our great central sun, which is in the Pleiades, Alcyone, is now in direct alignment with our sun here from Earth.
Awesome. That sounds great. And, you know, I've really been feeling that energy lately, too. And I think that everything is becoming more Pleiadian. Our sun, our sky, our tree life, our vegetation, just the way we look at things, it's really becoming more Pleiadian, and I think that's really an encouraging thing to have happen.
Yes, and our great central sun holds the codes of the creation story, the living library of light, and the council of light. The 12 operate at this level, so, you know, this article that I picked up on, it was just a blog actually on Facebook, and it says, when we have unified enough, we awaken to the creator, goddess, God that we are, and then we can work consciously from this level, co-creating heaven on earth. So really, if you intend now even more that you connect yourself with our sun and then the great central sun, and you ask for the codes to be downloaded into your crown chakra and into your body. And then you ask your guides to help regulate the amount of energy that you bring in, and you want to make sure that you ground yourself. And you do this practice, and that's how you can become more in tune and in line with the energies that are coming from our wonderful great central sun, Alcyone, and the Pleiades.
Exactly, and really that's all that it takes is, and it's just basically their energy downloads is basically what we're getting right now, and it's just really a wonderful thing. And once you tune into that, the sky is really the limit. I mean, actually, the universe is the limit, and there is no limit at that.
Well, and you know, yesterday, the day before that, you know, as much as I would like to just run out on the 99% quartz crystal sand beach here, I was actually really tired. And, you know, I took a nap during the day, and then I slept like 10 hours at night for the last several nights in a row. And I think what's happening is my body is being adjusted to accept these energies. And I wrote an article on cosmicstarseeds.com called The Best Cures for Ascension Symptoms. And it talks about grounding, and it talks about how important that is. If you don't ground yourself, then you're kind of, these energies are coming in and they're kind of floating around, and they're not being grounded into your body, and they're not flowing correctly through your chakras. And so I encourage everyone to take a look at that. And I know you took a look at that. Have you had any of those ascension symptoms in the last couple of days, Larry?
Yeah, I really, really have. And, you know, before that, I'd had a couple-day break. But last week, and I know we had mentioned this on the last show, that, you know, sleeping a lot more than normal. And it's like the last few days, I definitely have. I've been tired more. But it hasn't really been like last week where it was just a knockdown, drag-out, dead tired. It was just like I felt my body really needing to rest. And I have been. You know, I've been listening to my body and respecting it and drinking more water, and I've also been sleeping more. And, you know, it's like when I'm on Facebook and doing my thing or doing whatever I'm needing to do, if I need to rest, I will just stop and I'll go rest. And, yeah, I've been sleeping about 10 hours a day again, and I've slept more in the last 2 weeks probably than I've slept in, you know, I would say months and months, because it's just the way it's been going, and you've got to really listen to your body and listen to the signals that it's giving you. And that's the best way to ground, is to just take that time for yourself and rest. If you need to rest, do whatever you can by all means to take advantage of that and rest, because it's, you know, otherwise you're going to, you know, you're just playing your body out, and you really, really need to ground right now and get that rest and get that relaxation in to take full advantage of these energies that are coming in. And it's like with me, I feel like my guides are helping me out and giving me really no choice but to. They're telling me, you know, you need to relax and rest and just go to it. Don't feel guilty about it. You know, just lay down, rest, and relax. And I've been doing it, you know. I haven't had a whole lot of choice, and it's been nice, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And there's been a lot of articles on the internet about ascension symptoms, but I give some, these are everything that I have on here, the what I call the best cures, is really I've gone through every one of these ascension symptoms that I've listed on there except for headaches, but I do have headaches on there, and I have some natural things that can help ease you through these ascension symptoms, because really once you get past a certain level of clearing, you know, you get your hardcore clearing out, they really do lessen. They really do get a little bit better each time. So especially those people out there right now who are feeling the aches and pains and what they call ascension flu, I have some, you know, some tips for you on how to get through that. But the number one thing I would say is definitely rest. And a lot of people don't have that luxury, so I just suggest if you have to go to work 8 to 5 and you don't have the luxury of just taking a nap, you know, while you're at work, you know, maybe you can try to find a space to take, to go to your car and take a 10 or 20 minute nap on your lunch break. Definitely when you get home, just pass out if you want to, because when your body says sleep is definitely the best thing to do.
You know, Michelle, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you mentioned headaches, you know, and that you really haven't had any headaches. Well, it's funny because I really haven't had a bad migraine in a long time, but when we first started again the other day, right, I had the worst migraine behind my eye behind my left eye that I've had in years, probably since I've had since I was in high school and I used to get really bad migraines. So it's funny that you would mention that because I happen to have one of those and there was no other rhyme or reason to explain it except for the fact that it must have been an ascension symptom in conjunction with what we're going through right now.
Absolutely. These codes are awakening parts of our brain and they're also cleansing the left side of our brain in adjusting it so there's more balance and it's not just left brain dominance. So that could have something to do with that, Larry.
Do you think that's why that it affected solely my left side? That was weird because it wasn't behind both eyes. It was just on my left side that it was a killer. That's weird.
Yeah, and a lot of times what you can do is you can actually do acupressure. If it's just localized in a certain area of your head, you can just take your finger and just poke it and push it and let off and push it and let off. Just some acupressure, maybe put it on there, push really down, push hard really down and hold it and then let off. It's basically just doing the energy intention towards it to help it, to help through. But you can also ask your guides to help out a little bit. I mean, here we are asking for this, for as much energy as our bodies can hold. And so they're giving it to us, but they're also making sure we don't blow our circuits as well. So, yeah.
Are you talking about pushing down maybe on your temple? Like
yeah.
On the left side, like on your temple right. And maybe around in that area? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Maybe even on your eyelid, you know, to get closer to it if it's behind your eye. Yeah, so anyway, I wrote an article called Pleiadians, Extraterrestrials from Beyond Our Universe, which can be found at CosmicStarSeeds.com, and you just click on the Other Starseed Info tab. And I'd like to talk a little bit about this article, like we do on every show. In about 15 minutes, we'll be bringing on our special guest, Julian Wells, and I'd like to give everybody the call-in number if they have questions for Julian. I'm sure we'll have a discussion with him for at least 30 minutes, but after that, we're going to take some calls. The number is 646-716-8890. So this article, I'm going to go ahead and just read it to you, Larry. I know you've read it, but I'm just going to skip through some parts
okay.
of it. Have you ever felt that perhaps you are not from this planet? Has the thought crossed your mind that you may not even be from this galaxy or this universe? Many people are feeling a strong innate desire to return home. The question arises as to where home actually is. Although some may feel a strong resonance with the Pleiades, Orion, Sirius, Arcturus, and the like, where did we actually come from before that? In the N5D.com article, Characteristics of ET Races, a hint is given to us as to whether human life exists beyond this universe. And so I'm going to read from a quote from that. The Nordic Pleiadians culture is ancient and was seeded from another universe long before Earth was created. They have formed a tremendous society which operates with love, ideas and ideals that we are yet unfamiliar with. So this is quite a profound statement, and although it is the author's opinion, there is mounting information that clarifies this statement. To examine the origins of Pleiadians beyond our universe, clues can be found in the information we know about their existence in our universe by various sources that have either had direct contact with them or have the ability to channel information from them. And then there's the following excerpt from Alex Collier about Pleiadians. The human species called the Pleiadians evolved from Lyra, L-Y-R-A. The Pleiadians are our far distant first cousins and ancestral forefathers of some of our races. It has been said that the Pleiadians, as we know them, were Lyrans who migrated from Lyra in large space stations or arcs, exploring young star systems, seeking the potential for stable longevity. These Lyrans would send down scout teams consisting of scientists, engineers, and agriculture agricultural specialists to explore the surface of possible habitable planets and then return data and information to the motherships. Each planet was explored and based upon its unique nature would be developed for colonies that were then sent down for settlement. Some of these first Lyrans colonized our Earth for a time, while a larger group of Lyrans eventually found the Seven Sisters and other star systems during the Orion Wars. It should be noted that through the development of effective weapons of war, this helped sustain them through the Orion Wars and beyond. So as you can see, the Pleiadians are very interested in our world and our races here. They have been visiting Earth for at least 79,743 years, which is a pretty exact number, Larry. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but that's pretty exact.
Resonates with me.
Establishing and maintaining many large settlements. They have come and gone throughout our planet's history. We are very similar to them in many ways. However, they are emotionally and spiritually more evolved than us at this time. They, too, have gone through their growing pains, as we are experiencing right now. They have and continue to make attempts to share with us the benefits of their experience so we ourselves don't have to experience the same kinds of setbacks and possible destructions. However, at present, it says, not enough of us are listening. Three of the Pleiadian star systems have human life as we know it, with the most advanced system being Deneb. Is that how you say it, Larry? D-A-N-E-B.
Deneb. I want to pronounce it, yes.
Okay, of Tegeta. Another system is Taro, T-A-R-O, which circles Alcyon, which is the great central sun.
Yeah.
Most of the Pleiadians look like us in size and stature, build, color of hair, and et cetera. They are also very affluent and articulate when speaking any of our languages or discussing our sciences, history, and so forth. We have inherited our aggressiveness towards each other from them. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
I guess they're not completely out of duality then.
No, not really. And really, the Arcturians put up with a lot from them for millennia before they got their act together, and probably more so than the Pleiadians have put up with us. Yes, war after war after war mm-hmm. with each other and inner fighting. So it's really not surprising for somebody like me to hear, and probably not for Julian as well. But, yeah, it's on the basis of it, yeah, that's kind of surprising, yet at the same time kind of comforting because we know that, you know, others have been through it before us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and their lifespans far exceed our own by 10 times.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, their technology has made it possible for them to travel anywhere in our universe at speeds faster than the speed of light. Well, you and I know how they do that. They bend time. They bend space. Time
they
and
do.
Space, yeah. They are capable of using our oceans for undersea operations. They are very concerned about our current misuse of sciences, along with our complete loss of our spiritual center and harmony with our sciences. They have no use for money, politics, or religions, clearly stating that the latter two, politics and religions, are really the same. The Pleiadians are worried that, as other benevolent races visit, we will destroy our planet and ourselves and expose their failure to help create a conscious shift. The Pleiadians, like other groups, have left descendants on the Earth in the past. They have said they are willing to help us, but not to the point of changing our own evolution, and then they therefore become responsible for us as a race. They say that we create our own future as we go, and so we need to take responsibility in correcting our own mistakes ourselves or suffer because of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. You've done your homework, Michelle, obviously. Yes, you know, at the same time, they want to help us, but they don't want to play the part of a god and come in and just rescue us. They've tried that before in the Atlantean and Lemurian times, and, well, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, and I believe it's a universal law, though, that they're not really allowed to interfere with our evolution, but they are allowed to guide us.
Yeah,
that's what they.
Exactly.
Yeah, once you come in and you know, basically bring fire to the prehistoric human being, you've basically interfered in their evolution. You've, you know, if you
exactly.
actually give them fire. So, you know, what they do is they drop the thought into your head, hey, well, wonder what would happen if I rub these two sticks together.
Exactly. And that's how a lot of our great inventions that have came along is through consciousness through them, whether it's Nikola Tesla talking about it, you know, whether it's some of the Beatles' great music or Pink Floyd or whatever. I mean, lots of different ideas have came through them. Even the idea of Velcro shoes have came through the consciousness of the Pleiadians. And, you know, and I think that it is a free will thing. And like I said, back to the Atlantean and Lemuria things, not to harp on that, but I think that maybe some Pleiadians tried helping us more than they should have during that time. And, well, we see what happened, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you can read the rest of the article, which talks about the Prism of Lyra, which is a book. Yeah, an awesome book. And I'm sure that our special guest tonight is going to have a lot to say about the origin of the Pleiadians. And basically, though, the main idea of the article is that some of us, and maybe even some of our guides, have originated from another universe.
Yes.
You know, some people have a very strong tie to Earth, and you know, they want to be here on the Earth. They want to be responsible humans and be stewards of the Earth. And then there are some of us who can't wait to go home or can't wait to explore the universe. In particular, I am looking forward to exploring our universe and beyond into other universes and bringing my experience of awakening on Earth and creating my Merkaba in my body to be able to travel. That's really what I'm looking forward to. And so, you know, I think we should just get on into introducing our wonderful guest, Julian Wells. I'm very excited to bring him on, and while you're introducing him, I'm going to connect him.
Okay, sounds good, and I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about Julian Wells. Julian is an eternal heart who has discovered a way to connect with the Star Being Collectives. Julian believes energy precedes reality, so looking beyond or outside the information received from his five senses, he has learned to trust the non-physical information coming to him. Julian is an energy sensitive that has learned how to read energies, patterns, and timelines. He doesn't channel, but telepathically connects with groups of Pleiadians that observe his life. He has trained in reading the subtleties and energetic information and messages that are shared from guides and higher selves. He enjoys children, talking about relationships, Pleiadians. He enjoys hockey and all things 5D.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as he's aboard, welcome, Julian. Thank you for coming on the show and taking the time to speak with us.
Oh.
Hey, Julian.
You all right?
Hey,
yeah.
How are you?
I've got a little bit of a volume issue on my end. I think I need to turn you up.
Okay. Turn us up. Turn us up and turn us on.
Yeah. Turn on, tune in, and drop in, or you know, however the thing goes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to the
you're
show.
Just coming through very, very quietly. And I don't really know.
Well, that's a first for me, Julian.
Yeah, it's not typical. Well, just give me one more moment. I'm actually going to play you through a different device.
Okay.
While you're
checking with your volume there, Julian, I'm going to remind Larry that the first time that I met you was in Mount Shasta at Stewart Mineral Springs, and I was waiting to have a reading with Andrew Bartzis, and it was getting late in the evening. It was quite cold outside. I wasn't quite prepared for how cold it would be in the mountains.
And
you offered me a nice beverage to pick me up, and I didn't realize who you were at the time until later, but that was our first interaction.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Well, it was,
cool.
It was a wonderful beverage, and it
was
not
hot
chocolate.
It was not hot chocolate, no. Something a little more warming.
It was. It warmed my belly right up. So can you hear us okay now, Julian?
I can. I've actually run you through my television. My television is actually has my hockey game on, so if you don't mind, I might be cheering every once in a while, saying, yay, or something.
Some other four-letter word, yes.
Yeah, hockey.
I appreciate you taking, you know, you scheduling the show tonight during is it a hockey playoff or just your favorite?
Yeah, it's a very important game for my team. It's been a long time since they've gotten this far in the playoffs, and it's kind of one of those pivotal games, but it's just perfect timing in many ways anyhow.
Okay.
21 years, Julian, since they've won a cup, huh? 21 years.
I guess so.
I think 93, if I'm not mistaken.
But they've been in the final seven a couple of times.
Yes.
So, yeah, it'd be nice. It's my team. I'm from Montreal, but I live in Seattle. You know, my brothers and family live in Montreal. Normally, I would actually root for the Vancouver Canucks, but they're out of the playoffs this year, so I'm wearing my Montreal Bobcats.
For the record, that's my favorite team, actually, is the Vancouver Canucks. But, yes, got to love the Canadians.
Well, their coach is playing for the New York Rangers right now, so the one from last year. So he's got a little bit of the Vancouver Canuck energy there. So, anyhow, on the subject.
So, Julian, did you are you aware of this this alignment that occurred supposedly yesterday between Alcyone, the great central sun, and our sun? And if so, would you say that we are receiving even more energy and codes directly from our Pleiadian brothers and sisters at this time?
You know, I don't follow alignments that easily. Although I'm surrounded by lovely people who are specialists in astrology, mm-hmm. I tend to hear it from them, and I tend to hear it from others who share it with me online. I just get feelings. I just get this sensation of sort of like what the next week or two will feel like. And sometimes I ask the Pleiadians questions, but I've come to a relationship with them where they don't really like pick me off on much. Unless I'm asking. So specifically yesterday, no, I wasn't aware of that, but, and I'm not even sure what it would mean for people to receive more of the Pleiadian patterns,
mm-hmm.
because it's very prevalent for me already. And, I guess I should probably ask some people what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
They've been really close to my life in the past week, present in my mind and a part of a couple of experiences. And I want to say about a week ago, Monday and Tuesday was when I got some really exciting information about my past and part of my past life as a Pleiadian.
Wow.
I can tell a little bit of a story of generally how I'm connected with them for the listeners, if you like.
Yes.
Yes,
go ahead.
I would love that. I'm waiting on the edge of my seat.
I was hoping anyway.
Okay. Well, a little over a year ago is when I first began contacting them. So you could say I'm a Pleiadian newbie. I have not read any Pleiadian books. All I've heard of them is in context to being, you know, what people are talking about, starseeds and other galactic races, you know, heard a little bit of the Galactic Federation, Galactic Light, started finding out lots of people are channeling for them, found out about Golden Age of Gaia, that website. A lot of people were following that, and they did channelings and things, and I was like, wow, channeling is bizarre, but, you know, I really like Bashar and all that. So I had begun to develop my sensitivity to energy and to my senses through a course called the Avatar Energy Master Course.
Mm-hmm.
with Michael Bunk. I don't know if you've interviewed him or mentioned him at any point, but about 2.5 years ago, I began practicing and seeing energy and working with energy, actually rewriting some of the programs in my life. And that basically gave me this feeling of being able to do anything. I really started to feel like if I could just tune in and put my awareness to something, I can build my connection with it. And last year or so, I got this sense that a lot of people were wondering what our off-world friends were thinking of what was going on Earth. And I basically wondered if I could communicate with them. I know that people had, you know, looked to try to communicate with UFOs, you know, Stephen Greer's material. And there are lots of places where you can sort of like go and people get together and try to find UFOs, like, you know, Mount Shasta and Rainier and places like that. And so basically I got to a place where I was saying, look, if there's somebody out there who's actually looking at us, I want you to know I'm interested in talking to you and seeing if you have anything to say. Seeing, you know, what's going on. I want to speak to anyone that is focused and aware and ready to talk to me and has my greatest, basically the highest intentions for the benefit of mankind and for myself, you know, at the forefront of this discussion. And almost immediately I got, I would call my first most obvious telepathic communication ever. Now, I've talked with my higher being before. In fact, I've done a lot of that. And so this is a little bit different. And what I got was this sort of telepathic message, like somebody had like the answering machine on and my voice was coming over it. And they decided to answer the answering machine rather than just leave it recording. So it's sort of like a fumbling over the line saying, yeah, we're here. We can hear you. I can hear you. And I was like, wow, okay. Who is this? And they're like, hold on just one moment. And I was like, why would you do that? You know, what kind of weird communication is this? And basically, we began a small conversation where I basically connected with what I'm going to call 3.5D Pleiadian, one that is very much like a human, just doesn't have the veil of the illusion of the greater picture. And this one was actually part of a group of Pleiadians that had literally followed into a role of observation of people on the planet, very specific people. And they were doing this on the part of multiple galactic races. So they were sort of like a data collection radio tower type of thing. So they basically collect all the television channels. They collect all the more physical side of things. They don't read people's minds or anything like that. But they do have access to, description I have is etheric cameras. Where they can record stuff. But they don't record just anything, and they don't just speak with anyone. These are all arranged by people's higher beings and their contracts. So higher beings arrange these contracts, most of them being basically starseeds, to have and to disseminate information back to their star family. So this would be through the process of guide sharing, and whatnot. Now, what they began to do is actually ask me questions about a couple of things to see what my level of awareness was, and I basically had no awareness. They educated me a little bit of what's going on, but I wanted a bit more confirmation, a little bit more, a bit more to try to understand what I was facing because it was so different than what I expected. And so they began to explain that they're on a ship in our solar system. The ship is not necessarily close to Earth, but it's in our solar system. It is a Pleiadian ship that houses somewhere around 20 to 25,000 Pleiadians on it. There are other Pleiadian ships. This would be just a big round sort of planetoid-like ship. It's really not much larger than maybe the, you know, than like a mile or 2 miles, like a small town or an average-sized town. And I began to use skills I developed through the Avatar Energy Mastery course to actually project myself to the ship. And I began to be able to see what their environment was like. And at that point, communication got really good because I could see who I was talking with. And I saw their version of sort of like an office space. I saw their version of computers. I saw the interior of their ship and their hallways and what it looks like, what they look like. And I began to understand more and more about this particular group's roles and their lives. And for the most part, the occupants of this ship were young soul-type Pleiadians, amongst what I call 5D Pleiadians and 7D Pleiadians, which are basically just more conscious, more, you know, on the broader awareness sort of level. So it's basically somewhere around 80 to 90% 3.5D Pleiadian, so basically very human-like Pleiadian, and basically maybe 8% or so or 10% of 5D Pleiadians, which are, can be seen as supervisors, but not really, just more like more logistical organizers. And then the 70 ones were the ones that, you know, sort of reminded me of like a Pope-like figure, where they don't, you know, you don't see their arms or anything. They just sort of like have like a long robe, and they help guide individuals that have questions, and they're sort of mentors and that sort of thing. But there's no real leadership. They all very, very telepathically. It's almost, without trying to put out the wrong message, they have a hive mind hub where they can basically speak on like a common thread. So they have interactions between each other, and then there's sort of like a broadcast where they can connect with everyone on the ship. And they, through that, they also have a connection telepathically with their home planet where they, and this would be, I believe it's Alcyon, where they're sending a direct feed to, but it's actually many of their planets that are receiving this information that they have to share. So they are a information gathering planet, information gathering ship. And with my awareness and my presence on their ship, they can actually see me similar to like a ghost form. They live in a slightly less dense level dimension. So if they were to fly up here, you wouldn't see them unless you're particularly tuned into their density of energy. But they are quite able to enter into our density. And I've had lots of dreams with them, and we've had lots of very interesting conversations where I've gotten to meet them, gotten to know them. When I was in Shasta, when you were there, Michelle, the summer solstice last year, I had quite an amazing experience where I got technological upgrade, you might say, in my body. And my sense of empathy and ability to connect with them just skyrocketed. And I guess really things got 10 times more interesting from there on out. And anyhow, I've done sessions where I've helped people connect to see if they have starseed family within the Pleiadian groups and whatnot. But I do other sessions with people where I am able to connect with people's guides, usually if they want to reveal themselves to me, and maybe help communication with people's higher beings or broader selves or higher selves, however you want to call it. That's what I've kind of been busy doing besides the radio show that I've just concluded having done every Saturday for the last year called The Transition, where I've spoken on all sorts of 5D stuff. And anybody's interested in that, there's archives on Blog Talk Radio under The Transition. Anyhow.
Julian, if I could interrupt you for
Yeah.
If I could interrupt you for a second, do you find that the Pacific Northwest is any more particularly in tune to the Pleiadians than any other region you may have been in? I know that Canada has it seems to me like a
Canada, region. Australia, Pacific Northwest, and a region near Germany and sort of like the Norway and Scandinavian zone. Yeah. But those are, they have a, I want to say, which have been told, so I can't really confirm this, that there's a higher propensity for Pleiadian starseeds specifically.
Yeah, that's what I feel too. And, in just those interactions with the people that I've talked to in the groups, I really feel that. And just even at the risk of sounding arrogant, but I feel that too, that those areas are really have a high propensity for Pleiadian interaction, and it just seems to be the case. And I noticed that, you're living up in Seattle before I even knew that. I had listened to one of your radio shows before, and I really liked your style, and I really like how you put the fact that you don't channel, you kind of just pick up on them telepathically. And I'm wondering, I'm looking at your picture right now that you've got up here on the Skype, and I'm looking in the background, and I see those trees in the background, and I'm wondering, do you get any energy from those trees? Do you see, and this may sound kind of crazy, do you see do you ever see Pleiadian faces in these trees?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't really look for faces. I had a phase of doing that a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But I sort of ignored it. I just figured out, not a big deal.
Right.
Probably nothing special, just my imagination. But my approach to what my imagination has done a 180 since then. But in general, the faces that I see are in my mind's eye, and they're literally of the individuals and the friends that I've made. They stand out to me like I'm able to remember my children and my friends, almost the same way, in some cases sometimes even more visceral. Only visual that I've seen with my naked eye was in Shasta when I was with Andrew Bartos. And in Star Wars where like the deceased Jedi show up in like a glowy form.
Yeah.
A Pleiadian, a 70 Pleiadian, showed up over the campfire one evening when Andrew and I decided to contact him. And it was actually Mira.
Yes, Mira, absolutely.
One of the more common channeled Pleiadians. He's a 70 through, I would say, like 50 or something really high, but she has a physical form.
Yes, I listen to every one of her channelings that come out, and I find them to be very enlightening. They're quick. You know what I love about them is that they're quick and to the point.
Yeah, she's very succinct. I like it. I've never actually listened to her. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
on one level, I don't really feel the need to find out what other people are finding out about Pleiadians. I find out a lot about what everyone else knows about Pleiadians because they tell me. All I have is my personal frame of reference. And every time that I tend to find Pleiadian material, it does resonate very clearly with their patterns. But if I may, for the audience, I do want to let them know that not all Pleiadians are the same. There are not good Pleiadians out there as much as there are good ones. It's kind of like saying everyone on Earth is a good guy.
Right.
You know, there's a very large gamut, and Pleiadians is as everything that I've gotten is a very large melting pot, like the United of races. And you might say, oh, they all have the same DNA. It's more along the line of level of consciousness, you see, in sort of like the patterns of who you are. If you could imagine if someone wanted to play a character in a movie, they would sort of like begin to download what that personality is like and get to know it. And sort of like, you know, some of the more famous actors do this. They sort of take on a character and they become the character during the duration of the filming process, you know, like Daniel Day-Lewis or Robin Williams or, you know, some other people.
Right.
It's similar to consciousness, as if you're hypnotizing yourself to become that. Well, Pleiadian consciousness can literally allow that part of you has had memories and past lives as a Pleiadian to be reintroduced, which is what's happening for me and what I've seen for some other people. That's how we can incarnate here, be Pleiadian, and then become even more so in being reminded about, you know, where our heart is, you know, because we set intentions for our lives and begin to embody our heart, which is our soul's nature, more and more. And you know, there's lots of programs that keep us resistant to, you know, what our higher beings remind us of who we are. There are programs saying, no, that's not right, or that's not a good thing, or that's, you know, there's all these different programs that make it more difficult for us to tune into ourselves. And I don't even want to say my higher being is creating, but what I'm bringing into my life more and more, my creating consciousness, which is a very blunt way of saying that I have memories of what Pleiadian society is like and what Pleiadian relationships are like, how Pleiadians problem solve and how they speak and what sort of artistic things they tend to gravitate toward. On one level, you know, anyone can begin to embody that. So I really have a problem with the idea of people thinking that I'm not or that I am. I simply know that the more time that I spend in my awareness of them and speaking with them, it's almost like I'm getting really used to my favorite television show and I want to be on it, sort of. I'm feeling like more and more, there's really nothing else. I am literally acting and living more and more from that perspective. It makes my heart sing more and more. If that makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And do you find that with the sun? Do you find that with the sun and with just everything in general? Do you find that the planet, at least from your perspective, is becoming more Pleiadian-like? From what you can remember it, or from what's going through your mind, do you find that your environment, is just coming?
Well, when I speak with Gaia, which is not that complicated to do, she is reminding me. What she does is she reminds me precisely of how integral my being myself and being Canadian is of value to all that's going on at this time. She has not implicitly told me that things are becoming more Pleiadian. However, it is very clear to me that the Pleiadians are the first race to feel most comfortable joining our population.
Yeah,
even though they're still not right.
Yeah, no, I think that's a given, and I think you're 100% right. I've heard that a lot, and it's kind of what I feel too, and it's becoming so obvious, I think, to me, and it's just like you're saying, it's more of a feel thing. It's something that you feel within you becoming, and it's not necessarily something you're told. But I want to get back a little bit to what you were saying about that, you know, you don't really listen to a lot of the channelers because you feel it within. But have you ever had an experience where maybe you'll hear something a channeler said or this or that, and it's like something that you were already feeling or that you already kind of knew inside too? You know what I mean? You hear something channeled, and it's like, okay, well, gosh, I feel that already, you know?
Yes. The synchronicities of hearing or coming across like a channeling and then being, I just went through that.
Yes.
And it's a nice little confirmation, you know?
Exactly.
It's like everyone could probably know my favorite channel is Bashar. And although he hasn't always made that much sense to me in the past, I feel like at this point I listen to everything he says, and I really just say, you know, I really don't need to share any of my perspective anymore. I'll just point people to his videos because he's just saying what I've already said. People around me confirm this. They're like, wow, you know, he's saying what you've been saying. And just the synchronicity, as I've understood it, is that the pattern of the theme of the subject is within my field, as in it's close to me. And so I'll see that mirror in many ways. And as we traverse through time and through astrological patterns, the theme is, so you know, many people have, you know, the same relative type of epiphanies at once. And it's really ideal when you find these people, and I call these people my soul family, because I see how they're on a very similar evolutionary path as I am.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Bashar. I really resonate with Bashar, too. I'd be curious to know, have you ever had a chance to listen to Kryon before, any of the Kryon channelings?
I have not listened but read transcripts in the past, but it's been some time.
Okay.
My favorite written transcriptions that I like to get are from Archangel Michael.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who the channeler is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The one from Golden Age of Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
There is, well, first off, I can see angels as well as guides. They have an energy light form, and I've interacted with a couple of people whose guides were angels, and I've seen some people's higher beings fully represented as angels. So it's clear that they are not embodying more a Pleiadian, but actually more like an angel in particular. And occasionally I see people who have wings growing out of their back, and some of them have very large wings. They're typically like white feather wings. They remind me of a Marvel superhero called the Archangel. Anyhow.
Yes.
Julian, would you say that that's more of a way to see their energy field, or how do you really explain the wing thing? Isn't it more of just like their energy field, and maybe that's the way that your higher self is explaining it to you?
Right. It is symbolic information,
mm-hmm.
Most definitely. The wings most clearly indicating that their expression of freedom is very available to them, in that when the wings make movements, that they are basically exercising freedom and existing within it. Most people are not experiencing that directly, though it's almost as if they are Christian or Catholic, the odds of them having energetic-looking wings is more likely for those who believe in angels.
Mm-hmm.
They also have halos around their heads. Their aura gives that message more clearly. But it's like even, you know, the most mundane-seeming person would have to. Like I've seen them on like a homeless person taking a nap on the street. So it's like I don't really know exactly where the rhyme and reason applies. All I know is that on cursory overview, when I have my attention attuned to observing energy, which is it's almost always on, I just sort of notice sort of like these light flames that come out of the person's back. And then as I take a moment to look a little bit closer, the shape becomes more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I do sessions with people, I do it over Skype, but almost never with video. I sometimes get visions of what their higher being looks like, which is not really, their soul or their, oversoul. It's more like the higher self version of the ego, right? So it's sort of like these elements to their personality that are not wholly apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of symbolic imagery by what they're wearing, what their face looks like, what colors are there. And, sometimes there's a lot of very gravity-defying clothes and things that I experience about that. So it's not like they are just like that, but almost always, from my experience, people resonate very, very strongly with what I've shared. It's just data, really. Everything is data. Everything is symbolic. Everything is a representation of energy based on how we can perceive and read it. The entire, we're living in a virtual type of reality here. Everything is given symbolic memory. So we see things through symbolic memory, just like when we analyze dreams. So you could say a lot of what's helped me is understanding the symbology in dreams. I began to look into that from just sort of a couple of cues that David Wilcox shared some time ago.
Yeah, and the group that you're associated with, Julian, last year, I know they were really helping you with community and drawing up a template for community, and I think that from what I've seen...
Whole family community.
Yeah, and your focus then has been on your show's relationships. And just from your recent contact with them, what would you say that the focus is moving towards now?
On one level, I don't receive a lot of specific guidance
mm-hmm.
from Canadians. I don't use them as guides. I use them as sort of like backup when I have questions.
Exactly.
So they're sort of like, they're not delineating any sort of agenda to me. So the way that you're saying it, it wouldn't really apply, but I can say where I feel things are going and where they've supported me in the recent past, recently in the past couple weeks and whatnot, is to reassess our personal empowerment. Community, that was important because many people need to know they weren't the only one out there feeling strange about stuff, that there were others that would talk about, like the conversations I have on my radio show, and, that there's a really common kind of crazy out there where people are talking about, strange things like Illuminati and angels and whatnot as if it was common day practice, right? So the need to sort of like feel you're not alone, say, I saw a UFO and I believe it. I saw a fairy and I want to believe it, but I don't have anyone else to speak to. Being able to connect in those ways with people who really can join you on those conversations is really important. Otherwise, the future community will have no, it won't be knit together. You won't feel like there is such thing as a community. So, and the soul family subject, I was talking very clearly about how people could come together more in templates for community living and for basically starting communities that were sustainable, that would basically living day-to-day to a whole new high, a whole new level, where your heart was more easily present without sort of like the trappings of a 3D society, you know, telling you how things ought to be. So right now, the theme is more on personal realization and actually taking action. Many people have become more and more confident in recent days, and now it's almost like you have everything, all the wisdom you need to follow your heart. It's almost like a childhood, you know, fairy tale. Just follow your heart. You know, we've heard of it in Disney movies and cartoons, you know, in children's shows, you know, forever. But what we're looking at here is how do you return to the innocence of your childhood enthusiasm for your life and believe that you're not acting childish in such a way that what you're feeling and imagining and wanting to come true isn't, you know, hogwash or unsustainable. It's almost like being that child is sustainable. You are in charge of your life as a child as much as you are now as an adult, if you're an adult listening to this. You might think that your parents...
Yeah,
you might think your parents were running the show, but no, you were inviting them to just take on some of the responsibilities you weren't ready to focus on. And when I say ready to focus on, you never had to become ready to focus on. But you needed to focus on getting a job, getting an education. So I think people are getting more and more starting to realize how it's kind of a setup. You know what I mean?
It's kind of an illusionary matrix they put us into. When you turn 5, 6 years old and you start headed into the school system, well, there goes the dematerialization of your imagination, or at least what they try to do. And it just seems like, yeah, you're right. And that's one thing that really impressed me about your work and what you had to say was that, you know, you're talking, too, about people on a 3D level meeting with each other and hooking up with people and living with people that have that like mindset and that may have seen those fairies or that UFO or whatnot. And
yeah.
I just think it's incredible. And we're not talking about a cult here. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about a society where people can be who they are, you know, and not be ashamed of it.
Find your people. Find those people that you can share at a heart level with, because your heart will open there. Your heart will expand, and that energy will come through, and it will flood your life and transform you. Just by having your heart open more often, it's easier when you're with people that can accept you for who you are, really. Because it's very similar to the feeling of family, you know, family members and whatnot. I don't want to assume, you know, that people have had anything other than a stellar, you know, family life. But we all know that it doesn't necessarily apply to our immediate family members.
Exactly.
So,
no, I agree with you. I agree. And I think when you say family, you mean true, real family, people of like mind, of like loves, of like, you know, freeness, of like openness.
Yes.
At the same time with respecting each other as an individual, but yet loving each other as a whole collective.
Yeah, being able to speak your mind and not feel judged.
Exactly. Be able to say something to somebody like a star brother or sister and maybe have a little discussion and then afterward not have to worry about, okay, well, who's going to stab who in the back? Who's got a hidden agenda? Who's going to say what? Who's going to do what? It's just, you know, lay it on the table. And then afterward, you know, it's a loving situation. There's no animosity about it. It's just people speaking their mind and yet being respectful of each other.
Yeah, I think there's been a few too many stories told about how people have opened their heart and gotten stabbed in the back. You know, and this idea that happens, that, you know, you make mistakes, you know, and these mistakes are going to cost you the rest of your life or something. To get over the idea that I'm a product of my past. I'm really not. I'm a product of who I am an hour ago. And, you know, wherever my heart is going, I am learning to trust it more and more. And, yes, it comes through in the mechanism of what you would call the imagination space, you know, but that's just it. Take the world to a place that it isn't, that it hasn't been already. You need to be able to access your imagination and trust what you're looking at. People don't imagine and daydream and or even dream about things that they hate. They dream about their aspirations. This is all energy as a pattern coalesced by us as physical beings. We're sort of like lenses where the energy becomes a focal point and we invite it into existence. We're literally giving everything in our surroundings our attention and making it more physical, making it more tangible, more solid, more experiential. And as we continue to do this, we start to wonder how anything really ever gets done. And we say, well, you know, somebody invented that table or someone invented electricity. But it was those people that were living in their imaginations that brought those patterns forward. We all have imagination. We've just all been told that it's not always functional in the moment. And I've come to learn more and more to trust, you know, in this psychic side of myself. So, you know, even if it means I can, you know, look dumb or I could be looking delusional, I've given that up. You know, I'm doing and telling people stuff in sessions that sometimes I'm resistant. I'm like, I can't believe I'm about to tell you this. You know, this is kind of weird. You know, I'm supposed to tell you that, you know, you'd feel more comfortable walking around nude all day, but, you know, don't tell me what you do in private at home, you know. You know, strange things like that. And in some cases, even things like, relationship things where on a 3D level, I have no business telling anyone about this. But when it is psychically screamed in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to let you know I feel a little weird telling you this. So on one level, you understand how I feel, but it's very, very clear. I'm not going to get anywhere further unless I tell you what's come up. But I learn to trust it more and more. And often, you know what, they say, oh, my God, it's the unspoken elephant in the room, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. You know, I'm glad that's confirmed. And just about always, all day, around people I'm with and whatnot, there's just constant validation by allowing the subtleties. It's like constant synchronicity. I have two roommates, and it's very interesting life now versus a year ago. We're just constantly enjoying these things that just stand out and tell us just how profound things are.
And just living in that now moment. Julian, say, would you be willing to, are you ready to maybe take a call with us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great.
Michelle, who do we have?
Well, we have area code 916 on the line. Welcome to the Cosmic Awakening Show. What is your name? Area code 916.
Caller, are you there?
It's Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Welcome to the Cosmic Awakening Show. Yes,
hi,
you have
Michelle. How are you?
Hi, sweetie. I'm doing fine. Yeah, thank you for calling in. And would you like to ask Julian a question today?
I don't know. What does I don't know what to ask. I just was wondering if he felt anything. if there's something that I should know. I don't know.
Julian, are you able to just
you
do something
know
like
about
that?
It. Well,
huh?
Okay. I'll do what I can to tune in. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. They're coming
okay.
up. They may seem like they have nothing to do with anything.
I'm sorry? Okay.
They may have nothing to do with them, but imagine a triangle right now, and what color do you get off the what color do you imagine a triangle is? What's the most appropriate?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Imagine in your mind's eye a triangle.
Okay.
And then tell me what color it is.
The triangle? Like a yellow.
Okay. There are, there's about six things to share here.
Okay.
I'm going to prioritize, actually.
Okay.
You don't have to spend too much time here. There is information that I'm getting relative to travel right now. As if there's a point of anxiety or something coming up with it that you might want more clarity on. If you want to talk about that one, we can.
Okay. They said that I need... Okay, I'm going to go outside because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I won't hear it.
So you said something about I need to travel?
There is an energy of traveling that...
Yes, I've been going back and forth from Sacramento to L.A.
Can you repeat?
Oh, I've been going back and forth. I'm sorry?
And that has been causing some strain or...
Yes, it has.
Some form of anxiety relative to it?
Yes.
Okay, so... You have a guide. It's a little different than what I'm used to seeing.
Okay.
I like to see guides with arms and legs, but this guide is a smoke type body. So it's sort of like a gaseous incense stick sort of guide.
Okay.
His name is Io, just an I and an O, Io.
Okay.
And he is from an elemental plane, and he encompasses the pattern of fire, coincidentally. So it's more like an ashy, smoky form, I'm guessing.
Okay.
He's saying that there is a lot of energy spent in your traveling. And it is, a lot of energy is being sort of like lost. There's like buildup of energy, but this energy is not being received and it's sort of getting dropped. So there is, there's missing the foundations of respect for the intention set forward for the purpose related to travel.
Okay.
Is that leading to anything?
Yes,
that
makes
sense.
Yes, it does.
And this is sort of like wearing out the energy, the engine of, you know, that makes you feel comfortable drawing in energy for something relative to this purpose.
Okay.
So the idea is to relax.
Okay.
And basically before you maybe initiate this travel or when you're contemplating and making plans is to relax.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he's going to help you. Is going to help you, burn an incense and focus on it. Look at it for up to 5 minutes. 5 minutes is ideal. And basically offer this travel or what you're headed for, I don't know what it is, offer it blessings. And it will take on a form where it will turn into more of an enjoyable road trip or feeling that will basically enliven it and sort of ground more purpose in the final process of it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Or whatever the travel is intended to have purpose in doing.
Okay.
All right? Did you have any questions?
No, because I had gone there, and I have clients there because I do Reiki, so I have clients there, then I have clients here, so I'm headed back and forth quite a bit, but that all made perfect sense to me.
Well, great, Teresa. I'm glad that we could help you today. It's really good to hear you, and I thank you for calling
in.
Thank
you, Michelle. Thank you, Julian.
Don't worry.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Stay tuned.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Julian, while we've got you on, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind, would you be willing to give maybe Michelle a little bit of a reading and possibly myself, at least, you know, talk about maybe some of the feelings that you get about Michelle and then possibly me, and you could go first with Michelle if that would be okay with you. You could ask.
Yes. Well,
I'm
you don't
open
mind to it being public. That's cool.
Absolutely. No,
I'm open book.
Yeah, and me as well. Ladies first.
Cool. Thanks.
Well, is there anything you wanted to start with, any sort of like region or area, or did you just want a very broad reading of your pattern?
Yeah, I like the whatever your guides are wanting to give you. I know that my guides are probably tuned in with your guides, and they probably know exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah, they're nodding. You have they have actual hierarchies in terms of which one is more your main guide. But there's four that I can see, three more prominent, and then there's two that are really staying with you all the time almost. I'm going to ask you to do something with your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Put your left hand up.
Okay.
And then do sort of like the Vulcan V thing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Try not to help your hands to do that. Just try to do it naturally, and then switch it over to just your index finger by itself.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So, okay, now that's helped me connect with you a bit more because I'm visualizing doing it, and I'm basically receiving the energy that is in your hand. It really helps sometimes. I can touch someone's hand, that my empathy and sensitivity goes way up. So I just sort of did that because I want to be as clear as possible. Note, I've never actually asked to do this with anyone else with the hand. This is not some kind of process that I'm trying to endorse or whatever. This is just what came to me. Okay, one of the things I'm getting is a tree. Let's hold on to that. I'm getting a crystal like fluorite. I'm getting a control/pointing device like a laser pointer or a mouse or a computer. And I'm getting an arrow that does a 180, like a 180 curved arrow.
Like a U-turn?
Like a U-turn. So I'm going to put them all in a bag and see what I can put into context for all those together. Okay, would you mind repeating them to me?
Okay.
The fourth element?
Yeah, you had a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You had fluorite. You had a laser-type mouse pointer.
Yeah.
And what was the last one, Larry?
A U-turn arrow.
U-turn.
Okay. There is a couple things, try to capture it all if possible. I'm not reading you directly. I'm reading what's in your field.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are sort of like what you're attracting, thinking about, you know, contemplating,
mm-hmm.
or things that are coming close to your life that you may have forgotten about that are going to show up or something.
Mm-hmm.
There is a heightened connection with tree energy, and this is coming from a guide that's similar to like, you know what a dryad is?
Mm-mm.
Dryad is a type of fairy that is like an elf, and they are like nature fairies, and
mm-hmm.
they sometimes live in the tree. Like they'll
okay.
like walk out of a tree in human form, and then they'll walk back into it.
Okay.
Okay. You have this presence that can begin to connect with trees in such a way that you can download patterns from nature through a tree.
Okay.
The patterns will be Gaia patterns, and they will be basically evolutionary patterns with zero resistance. As nature grows, without resisting itself, without second guessing itself, without questioning itself. What you'll find is if you find fluorite that's green, that has a greenish tint, they come in many colors. I don't know if you own maybe perhaps a crystal like this.
I do, actually. Not a green one, but as I have a fluorite in my hand at this moment, and I have had from grounding my my sacral chakra, no, I'm sorry, my sexual chakra tonight, I grabbed an orange fluorite.
Okay. It's not the orange one.
Okay.
it'll be a more clear and green.
Okay.
Something like that. I'm sorry if I'm asking you to go get one. But anyway, with this crystal, you can borrow it. And actually, I'm getting corrected. You can use any crystal you want. I'm just being pointed to the most efficient one.
Okay.
You can touch the bark of a tree with your left hand and hold the crystal or with your right hand, and you can begin to absorb sort of this inherent pattern wisdom from the tree.
Awesome.
This will give you things that will make you feel very calm, almost like a cheat to getting into meditative mode or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you already have. This is not new. I don't know if you've done anything like that or touched trees in this sort of way before. The crystal is specifically to hold a program, sort of like a floppy drive,
mm-hmm.
and you'll speak into it your intentions for receiving it, and the crystal will support the memory catalyzing and saving this pattern so that when you're not with the tree, the crystal will have the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'll touch trees from all over the place. Once you've gotten one tree, it'll be kind of like assumed you've got it. You've saved that tree's connection.
Interesting.
Now the two other elements, the laser pointer and the U-turn. You're going to find some information about this type of action where you draw in the empathy from trees, the knowledge from trees, connect with trees. And you're going to find it on the internet where you already have. I'm getting more along the lines of a mouse. Laser, which is the laser part of the mouse, like a laser mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually already come across it. You're just going to return to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go back to information that you might have already come across that you might have forgotten about.
Interesting. That's great, Julian.
I hope you do.
That's so cool how you put all the four things that came into your mind, how you just put them together. They just fell into place. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of how it allows me to look at very archaic messages that are given to me. It comes in pieces so that I don't judge it too quickly and box it into what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually it's one of the ways that it comes through for me.
That's awesome.
It depends on how it's actually your guide that was giving this information to me.
Right.
Wow.
And so my guide pretty much worked with your guide and gave you the symbolism.
Worked with my higher mind.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, how do people get in touch with you to schedule these sessions that you do, Julian?
Oh, I have a booking website, jwsessions.simplybook.me.
Okay.
Or you can also find that link on my very roughly put together website, julianweld.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there was a bit more. I don't know how much time we have.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Go ahead, and then we can get Larry, and we've got a couple more callers, but we've got plenty of time.
Well, let's come back around. Larry, I was getting at the moment that he proposed this idea to share on it. It was almost like stuff shot straight up forward.
I'm ready, big boy. Bring it.
Okay. First off, the Pleiadians are making themselves very, very present in my mind. And it's kind of like we're doing Skype on video, and they're all behind me, and I kind of crowd into the picture, and they're all waving at you. And they're like, hey, Larry, hey, we're here. We love you, Larry.
I can.
And I'm like, you guys are crying me. I can't even think of anything else.
Wow.
So it's like a puppy pile.
I feel like that. I feel blushy and my head feels red in a good way. Yeah.
So okay, now I've gotten out of the way. Simmer down.
Okay, I'm calming down.
I've seen them to simmer down. They're telling me I've got to come see you. You know, got to drive down there. But I think you're just in Oregon, right? A couple hours away.
I'm actually, Julian, I'm about 4 hours, another 3.5, 4 hours south of Portland. I'm down on the southern Oregon coast.
Yeah. Well, I'm inviting myself over, apparently.
You are more than welcome. I've got plenty of room. Absolutely.
Okay.
Right on the coast. I can see the ocean from here.
Yeah, they're saying I've got to do this.
I'm actually coming to see Larry around July 5th.
July 5th, right. July 4th and 5th, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. July 5th.
Well, July 5th is my youngest's birthday. But so I guess I'll look into that time. That'd be cool.
Oh, that would be so wonderful, you guys. My God.
next thing that's coming up. There is, hold on. Larry, you're not a beer drinker, are you?
Yes, Julian, I am, unfortunately, yes.
No, there's no unfortunate there. I didn't say that was unfortunate.
No, yes, I am.
Because I didn't want to get this wrong. You already make your own beer because apparently you're supposed to be making your own super beer.
No, but my uncles have, and I've thought it a long time ago, and it's so weird because I've had a thought lately, just completely out of nowhere, of what it would be like to make my own beer for the first time, like forever. I've even thought about it. That's weird you would say that.
It's
really
it's
weird.
Beer with your energy.
Really?
It's your energy beer. And it will be not that you're meant to go out and sell it necessarily, but it's apparently up there in your field to come true.
Wow.
And I guess I keyed in on it because I kind of like beer.
Yes.
Even though I'm not, you know, I maybe have only a couple of beers a week. Oh my God. I'm actually getting an ingredient list. I'm getting ingredients.
Wow. That would help.
Let me just get back to you on that one.
Okay, why don't we do that exactly?
What's that?
I said exactly. We could go ahead and do that. By the way, I figured you were being Canadian and all. You know, I love Canadian beer.
Yeah, it's not a lot of non-drinking comedians. But anyhow, there is something that might feel a little bit weird, but let me just follow it before I judge it too quickly.
Okay.
There's something going on right now with you where your logic, It's just given the word logic, so it can be improved maybe, the word. But there's something about your logic that is going through kind of an upgrade at this point. It's like, I don't know, you're getting better at math or something, or you're getting better at seeing patterns, or there's something along the lines of logic for you that is taking, that is being upgraded. I don't know. It is on the realm of spiritual, but it is more to do with the transition. No, there's a transition of your speaking in front of people. And it's almost like the programs that you've lived with are changing with regards to how you're speaking, maybe publicly or with people. I don't know if it has anything to do with your online world that you're a part of, but it's as if there's a rewiring going on. You're having like a new approach to it or something.
Okay.
It's working through your throat chakra, and it's using that form of energy. And I'm getting it's about a 9-day process, and you're about day four in or so.
Okay.
It's gonna look like on one level. I don't want to say you're going to feel more confident, but that's pretty much going to be the place. It's going to be a whole new level of embodying, like, the absolute perfect appropriateness. And you know, I don't even know why, because you're already a great guy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but there's continuing to develop 9-day process that's a very specific thing from, you know, perhaps maybe you listen to yourself before and you listen to yourself afterwards, and you might notice the difference.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
So you have to forgive me. I have not listened to you very much. So I've only reached a couple interviews with you.
Yeah, you haven't listened much. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, Larry, that's not true.
But there is sort of like this family thing in your environment of getting physical.
Yes.
Where it's like people have moved in, and they're sort of like fully committed to you and your environment being there with you. But it's like not even actually people, like patterns or spirits or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Okay. Can you maybe
yes, that really resonates with me a lot. It seems like they're all around me, and yeah, I agree. And yeah, totally. It's like more and more, too, it seems like.
Let me key in a little bit on that. There's five, at least five very distinct individuals. Or
it seems like they're interdimensionally in change with each other, too. It's like a collective. I don't know. It's strange, but what you're saying just is resonating with me. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, yeah, it's really, it's like that.
It's, okay, so I'm going to explain something to me. Did I already mention this? That I have a fleeting aesthetic camera that follows me around. I've agreed to have this. It was a discussion with them to basically be on their have a camera on Julian all the time thing. For a while, I was kind of like on, you know, Julian TV on their screen, so to speak. And it was like having a reality show on in the lobby. Anybody could just come in and watch the Truman Show or something.
I was just thinking the Truman Show. There you go. Yeah.
Right. And they would get excited and send me, you know, talk to me, like comment on what they're watching and stuff in the moment. And it was pretty cool for a while. And then it was really distracting. I just felt like I was in the clouds all day because I was just talking, you know, it's just like talking with your imaginary friend. I didn't feel crazy. I wasn't like, you know, laughing all of a sudden in the middle of the meeting. I almost did a couple of times. But they're you know, they're very present and they're very chatty because I really didn't have any problem. It was fun. But I ended up going back on that and creating sort of like a space. A little bit more arranged communication, so to speak. A little bit more intentional on my side. And, you know, at first I told them, you know, not to come in while I'm in the shower and stuff like that. I didn't want any of those videos showing up later.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I'm getting that they're like maybe like ghosts walking around you all the time. Like in your house and stuff, or around your house.
Yes, in and around, and that is true. That is very, very true. Dead on.
So you feel that. Okay. And for me, it's not nearly as intense as your circumstance. I feel like I would be like bonkers thinking Canadian 24 hours a day if that was my case, because I would probably see them. I mean, the stuff that I see that's not physical, you know, with my energy vision up, I probably would just loopy, I guess.
Yes.
Anyhow.
Maybe I have, yes.
I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, be afraid of going loopy. It's a good thing. but I guess I'm in a position where what I'm seeing would be intimidating to me to be in all the time. For myself.
I can attest Larry's talked about his friends, and it seems like that they have a lot of ships outside your house, Larry, too.
Oh, yeah?
They do totally in the sky, starships. I swear some of them are ascended Pleiadian humans in Merkabas. They come down real low, and they move around. If I want to ask them yes or no questions, they will move in certain directions. And, you know, if I'm not sure that it's just me thinking I'm seeing that, I can ask them time and time again. And they will move, you know, whether it's a yes or no question, they'll move, they'll zigzag, or they'll go up and down, or to side to side for no, up and down for yes, or however I want to do it. And it's like you were saying earlier, Julian, it's like they're there all the time, but it's like unless I've got something really important to ask them, I don't. And there's only been probably a couple, a handful of times where they came in with an important message to bring in. But typically they just sit around, and otherwise they just sit around and hang out and grin kind of. That's basically, that's about as exciting as it kind of gets. And people will ask, well, why don't you ask them this? Why don't you ask them that? Why don't you ask them about that Malaysian plane? And it's like, I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't feel like I've
noticed that too. I've had to, well, first off, I've created a space to some degree with me where I'm not really into the headlines, right?
Yes, me neither.
I've seen past a lot of the purpose for the headline.
Right.
And I'm just not with that. I'm just not up for that.
I'm not down with it at all, and it's like
just not something I want. I want to pick up on the buffet, you know.
There you go.
I know that what I focus on is what I'm going to get into, and I can answer questions, you know, about things in people's lives in a session that I may never have a session with them again. But I know that everything I experience is part of what I'm processing, and right now I'm really not close to the whole, you know, cabal stuff.
Me neither. It's not something that vibes with me. And it's like if you were sitting around answering questions for people, it's like how would you handle, per se, Julian, being asked if somebody came right out and asked you, well, what do you think of that Malaysian flight? What do you think happened to it? It's, you know, I just don't even know how to answer that or even ask the Pleiadians about it or even if they'd want to even answer it.
Yeah, I found out that trick them into answering a question because you know they'll want to say something for you. They'll still give you something just cryptic enough.
Yeah.
You know? So
exactly.
They'll find a way of gently letting you only have as much as you're able to handle or something.
I think
but,
so.
Yeah. Do we want to maybe get some callers in for this thing?
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea, Michelle. Do we have anybody coming up on – do we have anybody on the board?
We do. Area code 303, welcome to the Cosmic Awakening Show. What is your name?
Hi, I'm Randy.
Randy?
Yes.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
Hi, Randy.
Are you doing reading?
Did you have a question for Julian? Did you want to get a little tune in to
Can
Julian?
Can I just get a general, like what my guides are saying, or do what you want?
I'm going to ask you to do something kind of mundane here. Do a scissor motion with your right finger, like you're cutting paper with your index and middle finger. And if you have some paper, pretend you're cutting it.
What do you want me to do? I'm sorry.
Take your right hand.
Okay.
And do sort of like a scissor motion with your right finger and your middle finger, like you're cutting paper with imaginary finger scissors.
Okay.
All right, you can stop. You have three main guides and actually a total of 16.
Wow.
Most people have sort of like guides that rotate in and out of their life as they age and, you know, their life story sort of changes and whatnot. But in this case, almost all the guides you've had since birth are really close to you. It's as if you continue to process memories and thoughts that have applied through your entire life. It's not all of them that are in my life. There are just several of them that have been around for quite a while. One of them is very like grandfather-like. And another one is this energy serpent that basically works with the calibration of energy on your spine. I've seen a serpent before with another session that I've had, but this one is almost like dedicated to managing the energy access you have to all the different energy centers in your body. And it's letting me know that, you know, it's doing this for you, and it's been doing this for you for a long time. I'm getting that it's attributed to this element where you're not holding that much empowerment over your life, that you're feeling a bit more adrift. And this will help you manage your mood. It will help you manage you sort of like transitioning through complicated feelings. And we'll also, he's there to help you. She's there to help you look at your life in such a way that the energy is in equilibrium, that you're not getting too erratic. You're not getting too judgmental, perhaps. So it sort of like keeps the balance, your steady mind and level-headedness. Because something tells me that he's trying to let me know that you're ready to not have him anymore.
But that's true.
But on one level, you've asked to keep all your guides close. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel anything along those lines?
Well, that's accurate that I do.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if I felt, I don't know if I actually feel who my guides are, but around the mood part, that makes sense.
It's almost like you might have a diagnosis of being bipolar without it. Sort of along that, where bipolar isn't actually an issue, it's just an expressive lifestyle. I'm going two of the three main guides I would say. Okay. They're getting me to pick a reading of your chakras. They're letting me know that your solar plexus chakra is challenged right now. Usually, I'm going to take that back. Doesn't apply. I was going to say, usually solar plexus is associated with digestion of food and food-based energy. But this one is not so much based on that. There is there's something along the lines of a blockage that even your sort of snake guide is not going to be compensating for, because it's something for you to work with. But let me see if I can get a little bit more clarity on the cause. The cause is actually a disconnect from the form of intuition you have in your gut. Sort of like that feeling like you can't move your impulses, that your impulses are being held back by how you expect people to receive you, like you're thinking too much.
Wow, that's so accurate. Yes.
And so there's a blockage of the natural energy in you just going with your gut. Okay? I'm getting a dietary suggestion. Is to drink about a thermos of distilled water per day. Get a thermos. Get like a deep gauge thermos, so that there's no plastic or anything like that, like a metal thermos perhaps, or a glass type of thermos. And in the morning, you're going to get a theme of the day. That theme is going to be like a word or a phrase. You'll get it while you're still in bed, or very close to having gotten out of bed. And you're going to write it on a piece of masking tape or painter's tape, and you're going to tape that on your bottle. Okay? This will engage your senses to continue to focus on this. And this technique is going to really make your life feel effective. for
wow.
really
that's really
feel
cool.
like you can get stuff done while you sip on this water throughout the day.
How much water did you say? You said a thermos, but how
about
how much
a thermos? You know those like these plastic water bottles that are out there, like
okay.
Starbucks or whatever? Something about that size, like a thermos size. A bit bigger than like a coffee thermos because of the insulation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many, I don't know measurements very good.
Okay.
But, you know,
I'm going to do that. Definitely will. That's really cool.
Okay. Distilled water, if you're not already drinking distilled water.
Well, I don't know if I have distilled water, but I have a filter on my sink. I hope I hope that's good enough. I'll do Reiki on it or something.
You can drink that water. There's no not that working, but I'm getting the distilled water. There's many ways to get distilled water.
Yeah, Randy, you can buy distilled water at the store. Usually any grocery store is going to have your spring water and your distilled water next to it, like a gallon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, I'll try.
But, yeah, no, I'm not saying if it's not distilled water, it's not going to work.
Okay.
But you should know the best you can get.
Yeah.
Unless you live in the Pacific
right.
Northwest, and the tap water is pretty good, it's still not quite.
It is. It is. It's actually quite tasty.
Yeah, it really is.
Very refreshing.
Excellent.
Anyway, that's specific to you. I know people are listening in the audience. You know, I advocate distilled water myself, but I'm definitely not some sort of curmudgeon and says you gotta drink it. I'm very lax with my diet, so I'm in no position to tell anybody.
Okay.
I didn't eat at all. I will only share what screams in my head.
Yeah.
I'm not letting
you
do that. Telling anybody.
Well, great, Randy.
Thank you. This
thank
is really
you,
interesting.
So
thank you.
That's
you're
wonderful.
Welcome.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Randy. We're glad to help tonight.
Absolutely.
Yes. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
And you too. Bye-bye. So, Julian, that's wonderful. That's amazing what you're doing for people. And I hope that the listeners tonight, if they have, if they would like to book a session with you, they can go to julianwells.com. And from there, they can find your session booking. Where would that be on your website, Julian?
My website is very small. There's not a lot of links. I don't really visit much myself, so I'm at a loss to tell you exactly how to get to it.
Okay. Well,
I'll probably
okay.
bring it up right now or something.
No, just repeat your booking website, that one.
The booking site is JWSessions, period, simplybook, period, me.
Great.
So awsessions.simplybook.me.
It's just fascinating what you're able to do with the practice that you've had with Michael Monk and the Energy Masters.
Yeah,
and
you're going to hear me spamming him. he was once my master, but he really is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
He is that kind of perfect gentleman. When it
mm-hmm.
comes to being out of the way and letting you discover yourself,
mm-hmm.
just offering the techniques that are really effective. And if you try the trial course, he has a free trial, I believe, still going, where you can try it for a week. And even after that, it's like $30 a month or something.
Mm-hmm. It's like
what you get. And
the Avatar Mastery.
AvatarEnergyMastery.com
okay.
or Energy Avatar Master.
Okay.
AEMI. And it's also, Institute is actually the last is Avatar Energy Mastery Institute.
Mm-hmm. You know, Helene Lipson did a show just recently. She's also has a show on N5D Radio.
Yeah.
He visited her, and there's actually a picture of her that she posted on Facebook where he has his hands on her shoulders and she's in the pool, and you could actually see the energy coming off of her shoulders from being in the pool and him putting his hands on her. So, and I've also seen videos where he can, you know, there can be a still lake of water in front of him, and he can project his energy out into ripples into the water as well.
Yes, he and Michael Grubb, sort of like his partner there, they both have amazing abilities that are demonstrable on video and in person. So there's lots and lots of, you know, evidence. As far as evidence goes, you can, you know, you can dismiss anything you see on the television or on video, but you, you know, if you listen to them, it won't take you long. There's lots of interviews with them. I believe, you know, Helene interviewed them. And I was Helene. I remember hanging out with her in Shasta. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. She's an amazing person. Yeah, she's doing good.
She's very cuddly. I love her.
She is. She is. You know, Julian, it would be nice to be able to do enough readings to where you could give up your day job there.
Yeah.
I know that from listening to some of your interviews before, you know, you're trying to head that direction. So anytime we can help out, try to get some sessions booked for you eventually. I think, you know, I'm feeling like this would be the way for you to be able to do it. You just need to be able to market it where people know about, you know, your capabilities. You have these guides with you, that, and you've been able to tune into to seeing things. You know, you have clairvoyance, you have clairaudience, you have everything it takes.
And you're batting 1,000 a night with people, so I can attest to that. So, absolutely.
Well, you have to understand a couple things. Why I'm a little bit hesitant. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be very clear. I've done maybe 200 sessions at this point over the last 9 months, 9 to 10 months. I'm not sure exactly. Since late last summer when I opened that up. And I generally do them in the evening so that it doesn't interfere with my day job. But, you know, I'm in a position where I'm actually comfortable financially, and I actually really enjoy my job, even though it's sort of a desk job. So I'm comfortable making that slow transition. You know, on one level, sure, it's ideal to be able to work from home like that, but I'm not under any sort of, like, intention to just, you know, take this all on right away. I'm, you know, on one level, I really don't even feel like I want to charge for this.
Yeah,
so,
but we understand that. Ahoy, Larry.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost as educational for me as it is for the person that's there, because I'm just discovering so much. I'm learning so much about, you know, what people are like and what's going on and the sorts of things that go on. And, you know, almost every session is different.
And apparently there's a reason why you still need to be at your work, whether you're helping the people there energetically or, you know, whatever.
I'm supporting my children, too. And I'd like, you know, my ex-wife to feel comfortable in that. It was literally around the time of Shasta that we decided that we were going to break up. I was either going to go to her brother's second wedding down in Atlanta, or I was going to go to Mount Shasta.
I'd vote for Shasta.
Find the ferry. Which I did. Holy crap. It's almost the main reason why I'd go back.
Yeah, the energy there are
And there's like all these portals and everything.
Big Lemurian portal.
You know, I'm gonna share something. Psychedelics and things like weed and stuff, and even sugar and pain medication, and alcohol even, it takes a lot to affect me. I have a very strong liver.
Me too. Me too, Julian. I think it's a Pleiades, brother, honestly.
It may be, so I just don't even bother, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, you want to share, you know, a stoke or something? It's like, I got to finish that before I get a buzz. You know? I'm okay. So when I went to Shasta, it was like I was lit up. I was like, oh, God, or something. You know, it was, you know, I should probably just tell people I'm going to go down there sometime and maybe other people might meet me and we can hang out.
Yeah, I mean, after I leave Larry in Oregon, that's where I'm headed in the middle of July. Yeah, because it is addictive. I've been there 4 times now, and I even camped out. I drove an RV from Texas to Mount Shasta and camped out for a month.
Wonderful.
Yeah, about 3 years ago when I was really coming into finding out who I was and doing a lot of clearing, and the mountain energies really helped me with that. Yeah, so...
I got my psychic side blown open. You know, actually, I'm going to be honest, I got some help. I have a friend, Brian Porter, who has this... have you heard of Brian Porter?
No, I have not heard of Brian Porter.
So he's a fellow from Oregon, and he developed this Atlantean crystal bed technology. So basically, he creates a net of copper wire, and then what he does is he places these crystals over this net, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all the crystals are sort of, and these are big crystals. These are like, you know, I think some of them are like 100 pounds. He places the crystals on there, and he arranges them however he into it. And it's about the size of like a cot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you like these handles that are like metal handles that are connected to the wiring. And you hold on to them, and you basically have access to as if you're holding all these crystals. And so it's like this big network of, and every time I see him, this stuff blows me away. Really, I'm just like in vision land, you know, like absolute, like past memories, parallel lives, all this stuff is just totally, I'm like psychic off the charts. Anyways, this blew my mind when I first came across it. He has like a massage bed, and he has the crystals underneath it. And I laid down, and he had a blanket that he put on me, and the blanket also had the wiring in it too. So it was like under and around me. I was literally like encased in crystals, like giant crystal energy.
Wow.
And I, incredible vision, and I basically, my face hurt because my smile was flashing my face. I was just so lit. I felt like I had done like a whole bunch of really happy drugs or something. Even though I've never really had an opportunity to experience that. And I just wanted to hold my hands up high. Like I was just like stretching out. I was like lit on fire, and the flames were going out above me like 6 feet in the air. So it was a walking bonfire.
Wow.
It was crazy. And that was up on the mountain.
That's amazing.
And from that point, I was just like, I'm seeing fairies, damn it. And I'm seeing, like, weird swirling vortexes in the knots of trees and rocks. And oh, my God. And my visual, like, ability just went off the charts. And I got so excited, I just never wanted to let go of that ability to see. So I kind of didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of didn't let go. Anyhow.
We all have those moments that where, you know, we are where we are supposed to be so we can further ourselves down the evolution path and figure out what we're here to do to help. So that's great. And, Julian, would you be willing to just take one more caller tonight? Okay, great. So area code 615, welcome to the Cosmic Awakening Show.
Hey, folks, this is Tyler from Tennessee. How are we all doing this evening?
Tyler, my new friend from Tennessee.
Mine, too.
Yeah. Yes. Welcome to the Cosmic Awakening Show. And did you want to ask Julian a question?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to say, like, I've been listening to this whole talk, and I mean, Julian, that's truly a blessing, the innate abilities that you have. It's really, really amazing. I'm sure that everyone who's listening and who's going to be listening this, our cosmic brothers and sisters, are just like cheering you on, rooting, like when you were saying how there's people in the back, kind of like waving at Larry, you know. One thing that I really wanted to share with you was I've had like a very distinct vision, and I know that as part of the ascension, our vision will actually, like when we'll have these visions, those will actually decrease because your body and your mind are becoming more entwined to the fact that you are having these experiences. But one very in particular was me and I was almost on a council, and there was 12 of us. And I just distinctly remember almost shooting up out of my body with a key, and the 12 of us had kind of connected this key or into this lock, and it kind of all formed together in the sky. But we were all kind of this giant green circle with all these keys coming together, and that really – really kind of like unlocked a lot of my awakening. And I had a couple visions after that, but I just am kind of curious. I've been doing a lot of things lately physically to improve my vibration. I've done what's called the Master Cleanse or the Lemonade Diet that has allowed me to rid my body of a lot of toxins. So physically I feel really good, but spiritually and mentally I've been feeling kind of blocked. I just don't really know if, you know, there's an ulterior force that's been blocking these images. I'm doing my best to stay grounded and to aid others in their ascension process. I love to be in communion with my guides and to know, I guess, how many guides I have surrounding me, what my guides' names are. I mean, any information like that would be extremely helpful.
You have two guides. One is an aspect of Archangel Michael, and another one is it's a female her name is not easy to understand in English, but it's sort of like Tetriol or something like that. She's close to your emotional center. She is there to actually sort of like make you a bit more sensitive emotionally. And she's the one who sort of like gets you to be able to feel a little bit more your feminine aspect, your more welcoming
That's
aspect.
That's so amazing. I really truly always thought like a lesbian trapped in a man's body, because I've always been attracted to females, but I've always had that that artistic side of myself. That's really amazing.
So you can I'm trying to think. I'm going to spell it out and be very clear. T-E-T R-I-A-U-L-T.
Was that a T as in tango at the end?
Yes. So there's three
awesome.
T's total.
I gotcha. So I've got
now,
Tango, Echo, Delta, Rio, India, Alpha, Uniform, Lima, Tango.
The closest, it doesn't have to be written, but that's the closest sound that I can get from her saying this. She has red-brown hair. Fairly wavy. She kind of reminds me of sort of like a sunny disposition. She's kind of tan. Actually, she's very tan. She'd say she's been on the beach or something. She wears kind of like a long skirt. And just sort of like a plant-like covering of her upper you know, breast area, kind of like plant weave or something. Her skirt is very, very thin, like as a material, like silk. So it's very, very, very flexible. So it's got lots of little wrinkles in it. There's kind of like a shimmer to it, too. She has these bracelets that go up to her elbows, like a whole bunch of sort of like viney, sort of wood-colored, tan, like bunch of hoop bracelets. And then she has these tattoos that go up to her shoulders on the outer parts of her arm that are very hard to explain, but kind of
that makes it, I followed you perfectly. That's amazing. I hope that, you know, that they're both of my guides are happy with what they're doing. I don't know if you can tell if they can see what I've been doing. I just was very interested when you were talking about almost like the Truman Show, how you had a camera kind of following you, because I do feel like I live a very in-tune life, and I would love for them to be able to see the human experience through my eyes. What kind of conversation was that like when you asked them to kind of place that camera on you so that they could kind of see what you were doing?
So your guides are already arranged at birth to have full access to you. Okay? So your guides are kind of like spirits that can be in your local proximity or just in your mind on the more astral side of your. Both of yours in particular are involved in your dream time a lot. They don't have physical bodies like, you know, let's go meet them down at the corner store sort of thing.
Right.
They would be considered sort of like ascended spirits, like, you know, Yoda and Darth Vader do at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Right. You know? These were things that
sorry
were
for spoiler there. You had to
set up
them,
before.
Now, I'm going to, Michael is wanting to say a little bit, and he wants to share a little bit more what he represents as a role in your life and how perhaps the audience can understand this too. Present on a lot of what you might call logistics, he's almost like a genie. On a couple levels where he sort of snaps his fingers and a lot of things begin to happen, but he's not there to grant wishes, actually. He's like a make-it-happen, very intense individual. Not intense like, but more like extremely present, extremely empowered in himself. Now, he's different, most likely, for different people based on what different people are asking or needing. What he has is a network. He has the angelic network available to him. So he's sort of like got people, you know. If you need people for something, you've got the people. An expert in this, an expert in that. And so he is in your life at this present and has been for about, 18 months, a year and a half. There is a lot of very intense experiences that you're going through. And he's kind of been there to sort of like make it out to be not so intense. But that's not really it. Let me clean that up a bit. It's like he's there so that the experiences are grounded in such a way that you can help others with similar experiences.
That makes sense.
He is also, he's not like there for like the day-to-day little things. He's there for like the big overarching theme. That tetriolt is closer to your emotions, and then your higher being itself does all the more typical moment-to-moment thoughts. Okay? They work through your higher being. Your guides speak, and your higher being is sort of like the gateway for you to receive those messages, okay? Because your higher being is your broader awareness. It's like you can see and look around the room, where your higher being is kind of like can see through the wall, can see what's in the room next to you, can see what's about to happen 2 hours from now, right? It has a broader perspective. And so it's that part of you that, you know, is in charge of all the synchronicities and make sure you see them, right? It's very much a part of your mind, and it's easier when you're in that sort of like imagination type mode of mind. Feel it and receive it. What I'm getting regarding the first question, I believe, that you came through with was you want to, you're sort of like, you know, not feeling like you're as connected as you can be. There's just a lot of things I can offer, but or that I'm getting that I can tell you about. But two in particular. One is on the dietary. It's a really strange mishmash of things, but avocado, kiwis, and red cherry. Try to incorporate those into your diet. Partially because they'll support energy centers in your body that are a little bit diminished and can use the support. And secondary for physical reasons, I guess.
Gotcha.
The second main thing, a bit more complicated, is to begin feeling energy with your hands, because that is actually one of your specialties, and you don't know it. It is a past life proclivity for you to be able to feel with your gentle hands. It's not like feeling like with your skin. Skin is involved. It's a part of it.
So more feeling with it. My etheric hands, like feeling with my
spend,
spirit
spend
hands of the sort.
Yes. Spend more time feeling with your hands. And you can start with just feeling things naturally with your hands, like just touching stuff very subtly, like fur or the wind. I'm getting, and I was going to share this a little bit later, but I'm getting really to tell you immediately is to get your hands wet and hold them to the wind and feel that sensation, because it'll be similar to when you can feel other forms of energy. To practice that a little bit. You know, licking your finger, putting it to the wind sort of concept?
Yeah. Yeah,
that
of course.
Is apparently a really simple practice. And on my personal note...
I like that.
Note,
I've never heard that before. I like the wetting of the hands.
On my personal
note, that to the wind.
Yeah, that's what was coming through. But not just that. Practice feeling like you can, things that have more what you might consider consciousness in them, things that are alive, like people and fruits and vegetables and things like that versus, you know, or like trees versus like, you know, stone or metal or man-made objects. So start with the things that are more alive, and you'll notice, you know, soon enough a feeling. Give yourself at least a daily practice for a couple of weeks. Now, from my side, I should probably let everyone know, I'm going to say it again, I would not be here if I had not partaken in Michael Monk's course. It's really like a gym for training and exercising your sensitivity, because you have the ability to feel and use your five senses to extreme levels, like practically supernatural levels. And that alone transforms your life. That alone lets you know that there is so much more out there actually you can experience. I didn't do this because I wanted to be some kind of like ninja or something. You know, actually, that sounds pretty cool. I kind of do want to be a ninja. I found out that I don't read fields of people who close them off. People do that. They close them off. And I almost say, I was like, are you even alive? Are you a robot? Like, oh, I find out a bit more about the person. I find out, no, they just don't want anyone to see it. I'm like, okay. My higher being has agreed to that arrangement that they've made out for themselves. Apparently, that's what it makes, you know, that makes sense. There's lots of visual and feeling things that don't make sense, but I just follow it. I allow my gut to guide me, and I trust that my imagination is an information machine. It is not just for doing drawings, you know, or for inventing things. And learning to trust that imagination side is where your higher being is going to communicate with you the fastest. The slow way is through channeled sources and through synchronistic environments, like, you know, seeing just the right articles show up in Facebook or something. So, honestly, I'm very happy in life because of my ability to sense and feel. And I'm glad I put in the commitment and time to practice developing my five senses. Well, I actually didn't work on all five senses. I was interested in the visual spectrum much more because that's kind of the way I was. And, you know, I'm basically telling people here, I am the way I am by a product of my intention to be the way that I am. Okay? I saw enough people doing things, and I just basically said, I believe I can do this. I believe I can talk with beings, you know, that I can't see. And they showed themselves up to me. And I'm very, very happy at the way my life has really exploded in this world that I'm discovering. Anyhow.
So Tyler, it was synchronicity that brought you to our show. And it sounds like you've got a bright future ahead of you in being an avatar energy master. And I'm glad we were able to give you that information tonight.
Yeah, and hey, Tyler, I would like to
interview
myself personally, actually. Tyler, I'd like to interview you myself personally on my channel, Pleiadian Express Productions, but we can talk about that another time. But I just want to tell you, great job, and you're already a classic caller instantly.
thank you all so much. I look forward to that, Larry. I would love to do that.
I would look forward to hearing that as well, Tyler. And be sure and check out our next week's show. We've got another very exciting episode. We have Joshua Poet joining us from First Contact Radio, and Joshua is an avid astrologer. And he has his finger on the pulse of the possibility of first contact. He has his own informative internet radio show, and he does it from an alien point of view. And information about him can be found out at firstcontactradio.com. I first heard about Joshua because he was sharing N5D's articles on his show every day. And one day he started discussing one of my articles. So you never know, Tyler, you might, you know, become a leader yourself in this field, and we sure like to hear more from you, and we hope that you can call in and talk to us next week on Joshua's show.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Thank you, Tyler,
so
much.
Okay, Tyler.
Okay.
You have a good night.
Have a great night, my
man. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you. Love you guys. Goodbye.
All right. Love you too, Tyler. So, Julian, that was very exciting. We're getting to the end of our show.
I love these types of session.
Tyler's a really good guy. He actually just got up enough nerve to call us on our last show and was really excited and said that, you know, he really felt strongly about connecting with us. So if we can see we can see why. He really needed to hear what you had to say tonight.
Absolutely. Great call. Great dialogue between you two. Thanks a lot, Julian, really.
Is there anything you'd like to follow up with, Julian, before we let you go?
Well, so I'm easy to find on Facebook. I know I still maintain a private profile, which means you have to add me as a friend. So if you want to go ahead and add me, and I do share day-to-day, typically my thoughts, and you know, I repost lots of stuff that I like to talk about. And, of course, I've got over a year's worth of recordings, all accessible through my website, julianwells.com. They'll point you to the blog talk channels that I've done so many sessions on. I have a YouTube channel as well. I'm going to be putting more on there. So if you want to see what I look like, you can see that too. And, of course, you know, I'm looking at, even though I'm not on the radio any longer, I am looking at basically expanding into doing much more YouTube subjects, incidentally, and perhaps even talking with some people on interesting subjects, a little bit interview-like, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow.
Awesome.
So, I've had a good time. Thank you for having me here today.
Julian, I just can't think of a better person to have on our show, you know, the Cosmic Awakening show, and with Larry having such great Pleiadian ties, and with my galactic ties, it just fits in wonderfully. And I want to give a special thanks to my co-host, Larry Locken, for hosting this show. And you can find Larry on Facebook, as well as his Pleiadian late-night talk show that he has. What is the YouTube channel called? Pleiadian Express Productions, Larry?
Yes, ma'am, and it's on YouTube, and it's also a Google channel as well. So, and we just kind of, on there, we just do whatever, and we post, and, you know, I'm ready to go on with a show usually at 5 minutes' notice, and post them on there, and you can find those on YouTube, and you can also find them in a lot of the groups on Facebook. So,
well, apparently your guides are helping you come out of your shell,
yeah.
Larry. As soon as we started the show, you just went crazy out there.
I was sponsored, yes, I'm sponsored, yes, cosmically.
Well, I look forward to coming to visit the Pleiadians that are there with you. Apparently, I'm going to be talking to trees with crystals. And doing U-turns.
Yes, you will.
Julian, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. And I want to let everybody out there know that we're sending our love from our heart space, and to focus on bringing your attention into your heart and get out of your head and stay grounded. And do you have anything else to add to that, Julian, as we end the show tonight?
Well, no, thank you. And, you know, maybe I'll call in sometime. Maybe we'll hang out for another show.
We'd sure like to hear from you. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening and for everybody that hears this recording. And good night to you guys.
Much love, everybody.